Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Ayin Aleph 71. Here we are in the seventh parak of the Masechta. Kefal Dal Vehei. Steal an item, caught with the stolen item, you pay kefal. After stealing the item, you shecht or you sell it, you have to pay Dal Vehei. Four or five times the amount of the item of that which you stole. When you chayv Dal Vehei, when you not chayv Dal Vehei, that's the topic of our parak. Well, the opening of the parak is when you chayv kefal, when you not chayv kefal. And then, follow-up question, when you chayv Dal Vehei. So the Mishnah gave us a number of examples of when you're going to be Chayav Dal Vehei and when you're not going to be Chayav Dal Vehei. And so over the course of today's daf, so we're going to analyze, there are going to be occasions where you're not going to be Chayav. So the Mishnah told us an example would be, Garam V'tavach B'yama Kippurim. So what do? You shechted it, you stole it, obviously. Everything starts with a Geneva. You stole it and you shechted it in Yom Kippur. So under those circumstances, the Mishnah tells us that you're going to be Chayav Dal Vehei. So you're going to be Chayav Dal Vehei. So why are you going to be Chayav Dal Vehei? So let's break it down. We did this back in the Mishnah. Obviously, this is going to be the major topic of today's daf, and that is the following. If a person were to do something that would incur not one but two different punishments, so we have a rule throughout Shas, which is Kimle B'derab Mine. So Kimle B'derab Mine tells us that Beis Din can only give the harsher of the two punishments. So if you, let's say, for example, damage somebody's property at the same time we're Mechal Shabbos, so therefore Chil Shabbos obviously is Skila. So the damages, which is a monetary payment, so that is going to be now pushed away, set aside for the fact that now you're a Mechal Shabbos. Furthermore, it goes even further. Furthermore, even if, let's say, for example, you're not going to get the actual punishment for Shabbos, for whatever reason, you're not going to get Skila, but still, as long as Skila was on the table, as long as you were looking potentially at an onish of Skila, so even though you're Chayve Misu Shogigin, nevertheless, there's still going to be a Patur on the lesser of the punishments. Okay, comes out right the funny conclusion. But if you've been with the daf long enough, you have enough experience in learning, so you know this. It's gonna sound a little bit strange. It may rub you the wrong way, but we know this, and that is that if you burn somebody's house on Shabbos, so you're not gonna have to pay. Okay, in other words, because there's the example of Kimle B'Darabamine. In other words, you started a fire. Fire's a malacha on Shabbos, and now in the course of the fire, so now it does damage. But again, because you're chayiv on the skila, so therefore you're going to be putter from the lesser onshim. Now I say putter from the lesser onshim, so we've already covered a number of times. That's only bidei adam. In other words, that's only based in inability to go ahead and to judge you two times over. Based in only has one bullet, so to say, in the gun. I don't know if that's the greatest analogy, but the Beis Din can only charge you with the higher of the crimes. Beis Din can't charge you with the lower of the crimes, but Bedinei Shamayim, however, if you would like to do the right thing, so then obviously you should pay. So the Patur is really Bedei Adam, not Bedei Shamayim. This point that I just made, so it's an important point, and we're going to see that point in the course of today's daf. Okay, you'll hear that again a little bit later on. So over here, so what do you do? So you're gonna v'tavach on Yom Kippur. You shechted the animal on Yom Kippur. So over here, here's a great opportunity to say Kimle B'Darabimine. No, we're not going to say Kimle B'Darabimine over here. Why not? Because shechting Yom Kippur is an Issa Daraisa, but it's not Chayiv Skila. You're not subject to capital punishment for violating Yom Kippur. It is only Karis. Now, I say only Karis, by the way. Karis, obviously, is extraordinarily serious. That part's true. However, we only say Kimle B'Darabimine if the Onshim are coming from Beis Din. Over here, Karis is not coming from a Beis Din. It's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Karis is not factored into Kimle B'Darabimine. And so therefore, you're going to be Chayv on the Dal Vehei. Good. That's our Mishnah. All that is basics. In other words, nothing more than just simply ABCs of the Mishnah. And now we begin the discussion. Amri Amai. So now, after having said over the Mishnah, simple pshat in the Mishnah, so the Gemara wants to know, Nihi dekad l'leka makos miyayika. So the Kaimalan, they look at Mishalim. So I get it. For Yom Kippur, you're Chayv Karis, and again, Karis is not a based in punishment. That part I get. But the Gemara says, but here's the part I don't get. So you're not gonna get Misa from Beis Din, but you know what you are gonna get? You're gonna get Malkus. Violating Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a lav in the Torah. So there's no Misa's Beis Din, but there's Malkus Beis Din. Now, Malkus Beis Din. So can you get Malkus and pay? So presumably no. Meaning just like Kimle goes ahead and is going to knock out the payment because of Misa, Kimle B'Darabimine, they presumably would do the same thing if it's Malkus the Mammon. So Amre, how many Rebbe Meir Damer Loka Mishalim? So the Gemara says, okay.
Rebbe, way up to, excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you.
Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, we're at the top of the Amud. We're right now about three lines down.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, so good. So this is the Shita of Reb Meir. And Reb Meir is of the position of that you do get Malkus and Mammon. So E Rabbi Meir, I feel tavach b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, so if it's Rabbi Meir, so then tavach b'Shabbos, meaning Reb Meir is open to the idea that Beis Din can punish you two times over. So then if that's true, so then go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah gave the example of tavach b'Shabbos. So you're chayv misa. Okay, but if it's Rabbi Meir, you're going to be chayv misa and you'll be chayv mammon. Now v'chitem alokam mishalom leislay meis mishalom leislay v'lo v'atanya. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you'll tell me that Rabbi Meir is only open to lokin u'mishalim. But Rabbi Meir is not open to the idea of misa u'mishalim. You want to make such a distinction? The Gemara says, yeah, but we have a braisa. And the braisa reads, ganav v'tavach b'shabbos, ganav v'tavach la'avod azara, ganav shor anisko, tvacho, so mishalim arbe v'chamisha, div Rabbi Meir, v'chacham in pochrim. Meanwhile, the braisa says over here that according to the shita Rabbi Meir, there's going to be misa and mammon, period. So over here, we have a braisa that tells us that according to Rabbi Meir, you have misa and mammon. So if that's in fact the case, so new misa and mammon, so now our Mishnah cannot be going like Rabbi Meir. Meaning the only way you're going to try to defend our Mishnah, to explain the Mishnah, is that it's going like Shitas Rabbi Meir. It can't be going like Rabbi Meir. Okay. Amre bar mina dahi. So the Gemara says, you know what? That braisa that you just cited, let's isolate that braisa. That braisa is unique and is not reflective of Rav Meir's general shita. Meaning, here's where we are right now, and I know there's a lot of cheshbening over here. But before we get to the isolation of the braisa, we are in fact saying, the Gemara is saying, that according to Rav Meir, lokin and mishalim, you get both. But you only get lokin and mishalim. You do not get misa v'tashlamim. Meaning, Rav Meir is not against the fundamental principle of Kimlei B'derabimei. He holds of it. But he holds of it only by Misa U'mishalim, not by Lokin U'mishalim. Okay. So now, here's where we're at right now. We just cited a Braisa, and the Braisa sounds like that according to Rav Meir, you're going to get both. Misa v'tashlamim. But the Gemara says that Rav Meir's general Shita is no. Kimlei B'derabimei. You don't get Misa v'tashlamim. So what are we going to do with this Braisa that we just quoted? We're going to isolate it. That price is unique. What's unique about it? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So Daha Itmar Lam Rabbi Yaakov Amar Rabbi Yochanan Amri Lam Rabbi Yirmiya Amar Rabbi Shimon Malakish Rabbi Abin Rabbi Yilai V'chol Chavura Samishmei Rabbi Yochanan Amrei. Okay, new this brisa has been discussed by all the Amoraim, including Rabbi Yochanan Toveh Chayde Acher, and that is, you know what the brisa is describing over here. You're not the one who shechted it. What did you do? You sent a shliach to go shecht it. Okay, so. The braisa here is describing the following. You stole an item. You're a ganav. Good. Now you're ready to shecht it. Not only that, you're ready to shecht it on Shabbos. You know what? You say to yourself, why should I shecht it on Shabbos? I'll give it to somebody else to shecht on Shabbos. I'll ask a shliach to do so. So you go over to your neighbor and say, look, right, what a funny conversation. I'm a ganav. I stole it. I know today's Shabbos, but I don't want to shecht it today. You'll shecht it for me. Okay, good. So the Gemara says that's the circumstance. That's the case where according to Rabbi Meir, you're chayv dal vehe. That's weird. It's a weird case. But put weird aside right now. We don't care about weird. What we care about is how does it work? How are you going to be chayv dal vehei for having shechted an animal on Shabbos where you're not the one who did the shechita, somebody else did the shechita? So perhaps the first question you're thinking right now is, wait one second. He shechted and you're going to be chayv dal vehei? That's not how halacha works. In other words, halacha works where everyone is going to be responsible for their actions. I'm not responsible for somebody else's actions. And we have a rule, the Gemara in Kiddushin, second parak. We weren't there that long ago. And that is, Ein shlich l'dvar avera. He's going to do the avera, and I'm going to now be facing the repercussions. And even if I ask him to do it, and even if he's an appointed agent of me to do it, Ein shlich l'dvar avera. It doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. So over here, how's it working? So Amarav Ashani Hacha Damakra V'Tvacho Umacharo Ma Mechira Ide Acher Tvicha Ide Acher. So the Gemara says, and hopefully this all sounds familiar because we did this back in Kiddushin as well. And that is that this is an exception to the rule. You're right. Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera. But again, that's the rule. But with every rule, there are exceptions, and here's one of them. Right? There are, if we remember the Gemara in Kiddushin well, a total of three exceptions to the rule of Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera. This being one of them. So that means to say that over here shlichus is going to work in this circumstance. Why? Because it's compared to mechira. Meaning, by mechira, what do I need? I need another party. In other words, I can't do a sale without somebody else. That's not how sales work. sales by definition require another person. Oh, so if that's true by sale, it could also be true by tzvicha as well. Interesting. You know what the Gemara doesn't say? What the Gemara doesn't say is that the only way that tzvicha works is ayidei acher. But okay, anyway, regardless. But in other words, since a sale involves somebody else, the tzvicha could also involve somebody else as well. Good. So the Gemara points out that there are a couple of ways to arrive at this conclusion. The conclusion is that when it comes to tzvicha of a gneva, so you can be chayv even al yidei shliach. How do I know that? Position number one is because of the comparison to mechira. Debe Rabbi Shmuel Tana, oh, l'rabbas is a shliach. It says utvacho, oh, mecharo. The Torah could have just written avav, it didn't. It an extra word, alavav. So that's a ribuy. Alternatively, debe chizkiya Tana, tachas, l'rabbas is a shliach. Alternatively, it could be tachas. Okay, and that would include the shliach. However we get there, and I'm sure there are going to be subtle differences, but however we get there, we know that toveach al yidei acher works. Meaning, even though I didn't do the tzvicha myself, but I appointed somebody else to do the tzvicha, I'm going to be suffering the repercussions of doing the tzvicha. So, Maskev Lamar Zutra, the Gemara says, well, I'm not finished. I'm just trying to understand this case. So this case is that I'm a ganef, and I'm shechting on Shabbos, but I'm not going to shecht it myself. I'm going to appoint somebody else to shecht it. And again, this is a rule breaker. In other words, here we're going to say, yesh lech l'dvar vera. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. You know what? As a fundamental rule of shlichus, I can only appoint a shlech to do something that I myself can do. Meaning over here, I can shecht it on Shabbos, but that's not true. I can't shecht it on Shabbos and be chayv dal vehei. And meanwhile, my shlech can do that. He can shecht it on Shabbos and I'm going to be chayv dal vehei. So amale ravashi, hasam lamishim dala mechayviu ala dekamle b'derabamine. So here the Gemara teaches us, and again, I foreshadowed this point at the beginning of Shir today, and that is, you don't understand kimle b'derabamine. Kimle b'derabamine doesn't tell me that there is no chiyuv. No, there is a chiyuv. You are chayv dal vehei. But Kimle B'Darabini tells me that we're just simply, based in, cannot litigate the lower punishment. It's there, it's just that based in is restricted. Based in can only go with the harsher, not with the lighter. But it's there. So in other words, so you are Chayv Dalvehe, just happens to be, that if you're Chayv Dalvehe and you're also Chayv Misa, so based in can only litigate the Misa, they can't do the Dalvehe. No. So over here now, everything works. Meaning, where are we right now? According to Rameyer, does he hold of Kimle B'Darabanei? Of course he does. The Brisa that says that Yishecht on Shabbos, you're going to be Chayv Dal Vehei. How does that work? So over here, what the Gemara did, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, all the Amoraim, we're going to take that Brisa, we're going to isolate that Brisa. That Brisa is very unique. It's talking about an extraordinarily unique case. You didn't Shecht yourself on Shabbos, you appointed a Shlech to Shecht on Shabbos. And you are going to be Chayv Dal Vehei. What? How about Ein Shlech L'Dvar Avera? Exception. It's one of the exceptions to the rule. Yesh lech l'dvar avera. So now we're going to have a situation where you're going to be able to shecht an animal on Shabbos that you stole, and you're going to be chayv dal vehei. How can that be? Ayidei shliach. So the Gemara says, really, that's interesting. So itovech ayidei acher maitam derabban depatre. Good. Now that brisa is an isolated brisa. Now we understand why, according to Rameir, you're going to be chayv. Because you didn't do the shechita, you appointed somebody else to do it. Got it. So now, what about the chachamim? Meaning, in that brisa, the chachamim say you're not chayv dal vehei. Now, you can't tell me that the chachamim change the circumstances of the case, right? One of the most basic rules we have when learning a brisa is that they are all looking at the same case, and they're debating on halachic issues. So, over here, we have now explained well shita Rameir. What are you going to do with the chachamim? So, itovech haydeh chachamim haytam ed rabban depatri amre man chachamim Rabbi Shimon dam shchita shein ruy lo shmei shchita. Okay, so the chachamim of that brisa is Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon's of the position that shchita she'enerui ilav shchita. We went over this idea yesterday. We get to go over it again. Rabbi Shimon has a very unique position, which is that you can only call it shchita if shchita results in my ability to eat the animal. If I do the act of shchita, but for whatever external reason, I can't eat the animal, so then according to Rabbi Shimon, it now is not a shchita. In other words, you did the action of shchita, but it doesn't have the effect of shchita, it doesn't have the status of a shchita if I can't eat the meat of the animal. So that's Rabbi Shimon of shchita shein ruya. Now, Amre Bishlam Avodah Zarah Shor Niskal Shechita Shein Ruyi. So the Gemara says, okay. So there are three cases that were discussed in that brisa: shechting for Avodah Zarah, shechting Shor Niskal, and shechting on Shabbos. So the Gemara says two of them I understand very well, right? Shechting Shor Niskal. Can I eat it? No, it's a Shor Niskal. Shechting La Avodah Zarah. Can I eat it? No, Avodah Zarah is Aser Bahana. Certainly Aser Bahachila, but Aser Bahana. But shechting on Shabbos, El Shabbos, Shechita Ruyihi. You shechted on Shabbos. So did you do good? No, you did bad. Shechting on Shabbos is one of the 39 malachas. So no good. Are you allowed to eat the animal that was shechted on Shabbos? Yes. Now, in a moment, I'm going to modify that yes. Okay? But in other words, you shechted an animal on Shabbos. So you violated Shabbos, but you're allowed to eat the animal, did not. Hashachar b'Shabbos v'yamakir b'afa b'shem eschai b'nafsho shechita k'sheira. Right? First, Perek of Chulin. Mishnah on Yedalad. So the Mishnah over there says that you shecht on Shabbos, so mitzchayv benafsho, meaning you yourself now are subject to capital punishment, but the shechita itself is a shechita ruuya. So now, the Tosfos over there in Chulin on Yedalad, so it has a discussion of, aren't you a mumar? In other words, if you're shechting on Shabbos, so that means that you obviously have no regard for Shabbos, so you're a mumar. And a mumar l'chal Shabbos is a mumar l'chal Torah kula. And the shechita of a mumar is no good. Good. So for that discussion, we're not going to have it right now, but for that discussion, go to the Gemara in Chulin on Yedalad and see Tosfos over there who gives suggestions, and that is a topic in of itself. But for us right now, all we need to know is that if you shecht on Shabbos, it's shechita k'sheira. So over here, you want to tell me that the Chachamim are going to Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that shechita sheinu ruyah is lav shmei shechita, and that's why, according to the Chachamim, you're pater from Dal Vehei. Yeah, but that works by Avodah Zarah. That works by Shor Niskal. It doesn't work by Shabbos. So the Gemara says, my time, I'm sorry. I'm almost there. So Amre, yeah, there we are. Savala k'Rav Yochanan Sandler. So the Gemara says, yeah. So what we're going to say is the following. That Chachamim Shita of the Braisa, of that isolated Braisa, it's working with the Shita Rabbi Shimon, and it's working with the Shita Rav Yochanan Sandler. Right. Who's Rav Yochanan Sandler? Did not. So over here, the Mishnah Shabbos. Hamavash b'Shabbos b'shogi yochal b'meizel lo yochal. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So what if you cook on Shabbos? So this is Bishul b'Shabbos. This is what's called. Maaser Shabbos. So you do a malach on Shabbos. So obviously you, the person who did it, that's no good. You do a b'shogi yochayv akamin chatzis. You do a b'meizel yochayv skila. Good. What about the effect? What about the totsa'ah? We're going to be focusing on Bishul right now, but the truth of the matter is this would be true by any of the malachas. Okay, I'll say parenthetical note, by the way, that there's a famous Chaya Adam. You know why it's famous? Because I know it. But there's a famous Chaya Adam. The Chaya Adam says that Maaser Shabbos doesn't apply to the malacha of Hotzah. Okay. So he takes out one of the malachas that don't apply to Maaser Shabbos. But anyway, but Maaser Shabbos, let's say it simply. Maaser Shabbos for any and all of the malachas. So if you do it, so you yourself are liable. But the effect, meaning, but what about the food that you cooked on Shabbos? What about the food? So can somebody eat the food? So there, it's a three-way machlokas. It happens to be that throughout Shas, we go through this machlokas numerous times. So Baruch Hashem, if you're keeping up with the daf, so you get to repeat and review this machlokas time and again, it sinks in, I promise. So the Hamavash b'Shabbos b'Shogi Yochal b'Meizel lo Yochal Div Reb Meir. So Reb Meir takes the most lenient approach, which is that if the person who cooked on Shabbos did it b'Shogeg, so then you're allowed to eat the food. So even that day. So but b'Meizel, if he did it b'Meizel, so lo Yochal. So the food cannot be eaten that day. But in other words, but after that day, meaning after Shabbos is over, now you can eat the food. That sheet is Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda, just again, let's just run through, because all we really want to do is we want to focus on Rav Yochanan Sandler. Reb Yehuda om Reb Shogi Yochal b'Mosei Shabbos. So Reb Yehuda takes a somewhat more strict position, and that is that if it was on B'Shogi, so you're going to be able to eat it, but only after Shabbos is over. And b'Meizid lo Yochal Alamis, but b'Meizid, you the Mevashel can't eat it, but everybody else is allowed to eat it after Shabbos. Reb Yochanan Sandler Omer, okay. And obviously, by the way, there's so much analysis needed for the Shita of Reb Meir and the Shita of Reb Yehuda. But again, just to streamline our daf today, we're looking at Reb Yochanan Sandler, so we're going to be focusing on Reb Yochanan Sandler. And Rav Yochanan said, Rav Shogeg Yochel Amotze Shabbos Acherim. So, if the food was cooked Bishogeg on Shabbos, so there you can only eat the food after Shabbos, and only others can do so. You yourself cannot. So, Lachem V'lo. B'mezid, but according to Rav Yochanan Sandler, if you cooked food on Shabbos, b'mezid, so now, lo yochel amis v'lo v'lo l'acherim, that food now is aser. My time to Rav Yochanan Sandler. Now, let's follow up. Why? How do you arrive at that conclusion? So, k'dedarish Rabbi Chia pischa de b'nisiyah, u'shmartam asa Shabbos ki kodesh ilachem, pasuk and parshas ki sisa, you have to observe Shabbos, it's kodesh, ma kodesh aser b'achila, v'maiseh Shabbos, asurin b'achila. So you know Kodesh, Hekdesh, so Hekdesh, you're not allowed to eat Hekdesh. Now obviously by some karbanos you're allowed to eat, but in other words, Hekdesh in general means that it's usur. Hekdesh is usur. So just like Hekdesh you're not allowed to eat, so too, Maaseh Shabbos you're not allowed to eat. Ima Kodesh Asur Ba'anav, Maaseh Shabbos Asur Ba'anav, Tamalam Alachemim, Shalachem Yehei. So how far are we going to go? You know, Kodesh is not only Asur Ba'achil, it's also Asur Ba'anav. You want to say the same thing by Maaseh Shabbos? No, we're not going to say it. Why not? Because we have the word lachem. Lachem balances. On one hand, it's kodesh, which means that it's asur b'achila. On the other hand, lachem says it's yours, which means that you're allowed to get hana. So yachol afilu b'shogeg, tamalomer mechala mos yamas. B'mezid amarti lach v'lo b'shogeg. Now, this is only limited to mezid, not shogeg. Why? Because in that pasuk it says mechala leha. So you violated, you desecrated Shabbos. That's a mezid idea. So pligi b'rav achav ravina chanamar ma'aseh Shabbos d'oraisah chanamar ma'aseh Shabbos d'rabbanan. And meanwhile, the Amoraim argue that Maaseh Shabbos, according to Rav Yochanan Sandler, is that Issa Daraisa, Issa Darabanan. So, Man da Amar Daraisa Kedamara. Now, if you hold it's Daraisa, see above. Meaning, we just went over the drashas. Now, Man da Amar Darabanan, Amakra Kodesh, who Kodesh Vei Maaseh Kodesh. So, and how can you hold that it's only a Din Darabanan, not a Din Daraisa? Because it says, Kodesh, who? It is Kodesh. Who is always an exclusion. It's Kodesh, but the Maisim, the result, the Tosah, is not going to be Kodesh. Bishlam Alaman Dharma Daraisa Matalahachi Pachri Abanan. Alaman Dharma Darabana Mai Pachri Abanan. So the Gemara says, okay, now, again, this is a very long run on sentence. So we are now trying to explain the Chachamim, where if I shecht an animal on Shabbos, so you're going to be putter from Dal Vehe. Why? You didn't shecht it yourself, somebody else shechted it. So you're going to be putter from Dal Vehe. Why? Because it's not a shechita. Why isn't it a shechita? Because we're holding like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds shechita sheina ruya lav shmei shechita. Fine. Yeah, but in order for it to say that it's a shechita sheina ruya, I have to tell me also that when you shecht, you're not allowed to eat it. But shechting on Shabbos, even though what you did is a violation of Shabbos, but you are allowed to eat the food. On this, we're holding like Rav Yochanan Sandler. Rav Yochanan Sandler. So there's some say that according to Rav Yochanan Sandler, it's aser min haTorah. There are those who say it. But there are also those who say that, according to Rav Yochanan Sandler, it's only asur midrabbanan, not minatar, which means minatara, it really is mutar, which means that it really is a shechita haru'uya. Okay. If you follow every step of that sentence, you're in good shape. Okay? Right? As everyone here knows, it was not overnight that I was able to say that and string that together like so seamlessly. So it's right, it takes time. That was a lot. All right, what I just laid out is a lot to absorb. If you're hearing that for the first time, go for a second round. Go for a third round. So the Gemara says, El Laman Dahamad Rabbanan, my Patri Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, so if Maaseh Shabbos is only in Issa Darabanan, not Issa Daraisa, so then your shechting on Shabbos it can result in min haTorah, food that you're allowed to eat. Therefore, it's a shechita haru'uya. Therefore, it is a shechita that's done on Shabbos, and therefore, Rebbe Meir is right. You should be chayv dal v'hei. So the Gemara says, Asha'ara avodazar v'shar niskal. So the Gemara says, okay, so what you're going to have to say is that when the Chachamim say you're pater, they were only talking about the shor niskal. They were only talking about the avodazar. They weren't talking about Shabbos. A bit of a dochek, but the Gemara says, but you'll have to say something along those lines. Okay.
Actually, everything that I'm going to do is
Kain
Daraisa.
Okay.
So that's why maybe.
The Gemara felt that it's just, you're stuck. In other words, you're just simply going to get stuck. Ad Khan, that takes us almost to the end of today's daf. Almost. No, that's early. So where do we land right now? So we now know that there is a principle of kimle b'derabbi mine, that when you're chayev misa and you're chayev mamon, you're only going to get misa, not mamon. And even if you're not actually chayev misa, i.e. shogeg, still it's going to override, it's going to overshadow the lesser of the punishments. The lesser punishment is still there. It's just that Beis Din can't enforce it. Our Mishnah says, however, if it's kares and mamon, so you're going to be chayev. Why are you going to be chayev? Because kares is not kimle. We only say kimle on Beis Din punishments, but kares is not a Beis Din punishment. And so therefore, there's only one consideration, which is the mamon, and that's why you're going to be chayev. That was our Mishnah. At which point the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, if you shecht on Yom Kippur, you're not going to get misa, but you're going to get malchus. So now we're looking at malchus and mamon. So the Gemara says, okay, so by malchus and mamon, so what we're going to say is that you're not going to be able to get malchus and mamon. That part's true. But our Mishnah is holding like Rebbe Meir, where Rebbe Meir says, loke umishalim. Rebbe Meir is of the position that you do get malchus and mamon. Okay. And obviously the Chachamim don't agree with Rebbe Meir. So when our Mishnah says that Shechting Yom Kippur, you're going to be chayv dal vehei, so it is a reflection of the Shita of Rebbe Meir. Period. You're right. You're going to get malchus for violating Yom Kippur, but you can get malchus and you can pay money. Good. So that's our Mishnah. And then for the remainder of today's daf, we had a brisa, but what we did is we isolated the brisa. Brisa is unusual. It's a unique circumstance where what happened was is that the brisa describes how you shechted on Shabbos and you're going to be chayv dal vehei. Right? That's hard to understand. And so what we did is that we said, yeah, but you didn't shecht on Shabbos. You appointed somebody else to shecht on your behalf. You made a shliach. He shechted, and that's why you're going to be chayv dal vehei. Because you didn't violate Shabbos. Somebody else violated Shabbos. Oh. And there's a shliach dvar avera. Yes, in this case, there is a shliach dvar avera. Okay, fine. And then we spent the rest of our time this morning going over that shitas ramer. And according to the Chochamim, if I ask somebody else to shecht, so now, you're going to be chayv dal vehei when I ask somebody else to... I'm sorry. You're going to be pater from dal vehei if I ask somebody else to shecht. I didn't violate Shabbos. To which the Gemara's response is, the Chachamim really is a reflection of Rabbi Shimon. And with that other person shechted, you know what happened? So it's a shechita shein aruya. But in order to say that the shechita shein aruya is now you have to come on to the shechita of Rav Yochanan Sandler. Okay. And I admit, that's a lot. It's just a lot to absorb. Okay, next. Where'd I go? Ashara Avodah Zarah v'Shor Nitzko. V'Rabbi Meir, Amai Mechayiv Shochel Avodah Zarah. Okay, so we're on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, so you're Chayiv if you Shech Avodah Zarah. Okay, so again, Rabbi Meir of the Rabbi Meir of the Braisa, you're a gun of a tavach avodah zara, so you're going to be paying dal vehei. And the Gemara says, now how is that going to work? How is that going to work? So kevin de shachah bei porta asra. So idach isuri anahu and lo demar katavach. As a basic rule, to be chayv dal vehei, what do I have to do? I have to steal somebody's item and I have to shecht his item. And I say item, by the way, obviously animal. Okay, I have to shecht his animal. If it's not his animal, so then I'm not chayv dal vehei. It's a technicality, but that's the way it works. Okay, you'll remember the beginning of this perek, a lengthy discussion. If yeush is koneh, so then you're not going to be chayv dal vehei. Now that's an if. So, but in other words, if yeush is koneh, so that means I stole the item from the owner. And if you subscribe to yeush being koneh, so that means it's no longer his, it's now mine. And now when I shecht it, I'm not shechting his animal, I'm not going to be chayv dal vehei. Good. So fine. That was the discussion we had in the beginning of the perek. So now it's a similar discussion. In other words, when I shecht an animal le'avodah zarah, okay. So now so I'm going to be chayv dal vehei. At least that's the shita of Rebbe Meir. How does that work? Meaning, what happens now is that I'm shechting an animal for idolatry, and I'm starting to now go through the neck, doing the act of shechita. The moment I make that first incision, the animal now is zivchei mesim. Now Rashi over here says, and again, I know there's so many moving parts to today's daf. I know that. Rashi over here says that in order to entertain this idea, you have to subscribe to the viewpoint of yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'yad sof. Okay, another very fundamental machlokus we saw back in Chulin. The act of shchita, in other words, the status of shchita is when you start shechting or at the conclusion of the shchita. It's a machlokas. Right now, we're assuming, says Rashi, yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'yad sof. Good. So that now, I make that first incision. So, am I shechting? Yes. Have I finished shechting? Obviously, the answer is no. The finished product of shechita is only when you go through the majority of the two simanim, of the kan and the veshet. Fine. So now I'm shechting for avodah zarah. When does it get the status of avodah zarah? With that first incision. With that first incision, now it's zivchei mesim. As now as a chefza of avodah zarah, at that moment in time, with that first incision, it's aser ba'ana. The owner no longer is the owner of this item. Huh. So now when you finish the shechita, are you going to be chayv dal v'hei? That's exactly the Gemara's question. You shouldn't be chayv dal v'hei. You're only chayv dal v'hei when I shecht his animal. And because I rendered it a zivchei mesim with that first incision, it's not his animal.
Why does making it a zivchei mesim change both?
Because it's also it's
why that changed.
The Gemara's assumption is that Isser Hana'a removes ownership. That is the assumption the Gemara's making. Okay. You're correct. Meaning that's a fundamental point. But yes, that's what the Gemara is saying.
What about the principle that you cannot make somebody else's property like?
Ain adam aser oser davish enishol. Ben wants to know. We have a general principle that I can't ask for something that doesn't belong to me.
Right.
So we say numerous times. So that is if I'm trying to halachically affect something over here, I'm actually shechting it. Now, granted, by the way, I'm actually shechting it with a kavan of avodah zarah, but over here, if I'm actually shechting it, so then adam osu davar sheni shelo. For example, if let's say I go over to somebody's meat and I cook it in milk, so over there, in other words, I know, right? I was osu something that belonged to him. Or another example, if let's say somebody has truma and I went over and I was mitame it, what do you mean? You can't osu something that belongs to somebody else. Over here, I was actually mitame it. So there is limitations to the rule of Ein Adam Osur Davar Sheni Shelo. Obviously, over here you can osur something that belongs to somebody else. So that now means so the Gemara now wants to know. So you shouldn't be chayv dal v'hei. Granted on a technicality. So granted. So the idach. You're right. Surgical technicality. So came to shachar beporta osur idach isurei nahu velo de gamar de tavach. Sorry, I'm just reread the Gemara's question. Amar Rava. So immediately after the parentheses, Rava says, "Be'omer b'gmar zvichahu ovda." Okay, so a technical question with a technical answer. So over here, was my intent. I articulated it, and that is that it's I am not going to be using it as zivchei mesim until the end of the shechita. Okay, however it works. Okay, in other words, obviously you could do this. So you can delay, you could put a delay on the Avodah Zarah service worship until the end of the Shechita. Admittedly, an extraordinarily technical answer. Okay, now sure, in Iskali, Sorinan, Ninu, Lavdemar, Katavach, Gemara says, okay, look, we explained the Shabbos, the Shechting on Shabbos, we explained the Shechting on Avodah Zarah, okay, and admittedly, we're really getting stuck, but the Gemara at least has ways to navigate, and it does require navigation. But over here, you're shechting a shor haniskal. Okay, again, we all know this. I didn't explain it when we did the brisa, but the shor haniskal, that means that the animal did what? So kill somebody, and now the animal killed first time. Doesn't matter how many times. So the matters how many times for kofar. But in other words, your animal killed somebody, so now the animal needs to be put to death. Needs to go to Beis Din has to put it to death. It's called the shor haniskal. And as a shor haniskal, it's aser b'hana. Okay. So the Gemara now wants to know. So you took somebody's shor haniskal, you stole it, you shechted it. So according to Rav Meir of the Braisa, you're chayv dal v'hei. Why? Why are you going to be chayv dal v'hei? In other words, it's aser b'hana. It's not his. So again, we asked this question by Avodah Zarah. Good, we gave a technical answer. What technical answer are you going to give when it comes to shor haniskal? Shor haniskal is aser b'hana, end of discussion. Well, obviously, it's not the end of the discussion. The Gemara is going to be creative over here as well. So Amar Rava Hacha Ben Ma'iskin and Kigon Shemasul Shomer V'Hizik Bebe Shomer V'Huad Bebe Shomer V'Nigmar Dino Bebe Shomer Rabbi Meir Sever like Rabbi Yaakov V'Sfir like Rabbi Shimon. Okay. The Gemara says like this. I'll give you a creative answer for sure, Niskal, and I admit this is really creative. So what you did is you gave it to a shomer, and before you gave it to the shomer, the animal was fine. It was totally fine. And then in the house of the shomer, what did it do? So it went on a rampage and it started killing. So and it killed a person while under the care of the shomer. Okay, admittedly not the best care. So and v'huad beveis shomer v'nigmadino beveis shomer. And now what happens is that it was charged and convicted in the beis shomer. Okay, so all the killing occurred again. You just need one time. All the killing occurred in the house of the shomer. Now, Rabbi Meir Savar like Rabbi Yaakov, Isfir like Rabbi Shimon. So again, now what we're looking to create is a scenario in which it's a shor and iskal, but can still qualify as property, as money. Here's how it's going to work. And again, you got to focus. I'm talking to me. So Savar like Rabbi Yaakov da Amar Av Mishenigmar Dino Echzir Shomer Labal Emochzar. So number one, we're going to hold like Rabbi Yaakov. According to Rabbi Yaakov, I was entrusted to watch somebody's animal. While under my care, it killed somebody. Now it's a shor niskal. According to Rabbi Yaakov, what I can do, doesn't sound that nice, but what I can do, I can go back to the owner, return the animal to the owner and say, look, you gave me an animal to watch, here it is back. Now, let me just share with you some details over here. While the animal was under my care, it did kill, and yes, we went to Beis Din, and yes, Beis Din declared it to be a shor niskal, and yes, it's going to be sentenced by Beis Din in just a couple days from now, but here it is. But here it is. Okay, so yes, we didn't watch it. I watched it. Here it is, and it's back. Did you successfully return?
It was already sentenced.
Yeah, but hechzir labalim. You're right. But in other words, but somehow you were able to delay the sentencing. I don't know how you did it. And you returned it to the owner. Befeirish, it says it right here.
But you returned something that's damaged.
You returned the same item you were given. Of course you're right. Rabbi Yaakov is telling us a chiddush. It's a chiddush. It's absolutely a chiddush. Anyone who's pushing back right now is appreciating the fact it's a chiddush. Good. I'm with you. It's a chiddush. We're all going to be in agreement. It's a chiddush. So now you returned it. So according to Rabbi Yaakov, it is considered mochzar. So now it was... He's not going to look upon you favorably. I totally understand. But in other words, as far as your responsibility of being a shomer, you were given an animal to watch, you returned it. It is now considered mochzer. Okay. Now, that's step number one. Step number two, several like Rabbi Shimon, damar davar garin lamamun kamamun dami. So we did none. Rabbi Shimon amar kashim shechay b'achri yusam. So chayav amar davar garin lamamun kamamun dami. And on top of that, we're going to couple together with the Shita Rabbi Shimon. This animal right now is a shor niskal. Has how much intrinsic value? The answer is zero. But at the same time, however, from the shomer's perspective, if I don't return this animal, I'm going to have to pay. Meaning intrinsically, the animal right now is set at zero. It's a shor niskal. It has no value. But from the shomer's standpoint, I can either give back this animal to the owner and clean my hands of any payment, or alternatively, if I don't return the animal, I'm going to have to pay. This is what's called in halacha a davar hagorim lamamun. It now is going to, even though the item itself does not have intrinsic value, but it's going to cause me money if I don't return it. So now a davar hagorim lamamun. Does that halachically have the status of mamun? Yes or no? Another debate. And on this, we're going to be saying that we're going to subscribe to Rabbi Shimon. Davar hagorim lamamun kamamun dami.
Has an
isur hana. A shor niskal is isur hana. So yes.
There should be an ability to have transactions regarding it because you can't. There's no ownership. We said
there's no ownership. So but from the shomer's perspective, it has value.
Value without ownership.
Right? Because correct. Perfect. Because it's a gorim lamamun. Because from the shomer's perspective, now if he fails to return the item, he's going to have to pay.
But the ownership of the owner is not negated through the fact that it's...
The shomer had a liability. The shomer can absolve that liability if he returns the animal.
Does it matter what type of shomer it is?
Generally speaking, of course it does. But over here, his liability can be waived if he returns the animal. But again, that's Rabbi Yaakov's position. Now we're going to couple that with Rabbi Shimon's position. That dav or hagaron lamamun kamamun dami. Okay. And by the way, I read the Mishnah. The Mishnah is coming up later in 9 Dal. We're going to see the Mishnah shortly enough. I ran through the Mishnah. Yirtzeh Hashem. We'll explain the Mishnah better in 9 Dal. But anyway, that sheet is Rabbi Shimon. So now what we're going to do, it's unbelievably creative. Meaning, how could it be that I'm going to be shechting a Shor Niska on Chayv Dal Vehei? Shor Niska has no value? Well, what we're going to do is that we're going to say that the one who shechted it was the shomer, and the shomer and what happened was it became a shor niska in the house of the shomer, and therefore even though the animal now is a shor niska has zero value, but if the shomer were to return the item, he would be absolved of liability. On top of that, we're also going to say that a garen lamamun is kamamun, like the shita Rabbi Shimon. So creatively, we can construct a scenario in which the shor niska has value, even though it doesn't have value. Okay. And I admit, by the way, that wasn't easy. No way we possibly. Right. Okay, good. Alan, Baruch Hashem, you've been with me long enough. So good. So Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Yisrael, Shemayit HaKama, Rav Zimin, Arda. So me, Matzis, Mukma, Masis, and Karab Meir, Veloka, Rabbi Shimon, V'Aketani Seifa. Rabbi Shimon Potter Bishnei Elu Mechlal de Bekula Masis Amoda. So the Gemara says, okay. So what do we do? So what we did is that in order to set up our Mishnah, so we set up our Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, right? Why did we do that? Again, go all the way back to the beginning of our discussion today. In other words, our Mishnah says that Yishecht and Yom Kippur, you're going to be, our Mishnah says you're going to be Chayev. That's what our Mishnah said. So the Gemara says, Chayev, yeah, but you're getting Malkus, meaning I know you're not getting Misa for Yom Kippur, but you're getting Malkus. So the Gemara says, yeah, but our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. Ah. And Rabbi Meir says, Lokan and Mishalim. So the Gemara says, really? So you're setting up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. I'm sorry, like Rabbi Meir. And you're not setting up our Mishnah like Rabbi Shimon. Meaning Rabbi Shimon holds that you don't get Malkus and Teshlamim. V'aksani Seifa. Yeah, but did you read the end of the Mishnah? We all did. And that is Rabbi Shimon Potter B'Shnei Elu. Rabbi Shimon creates a Petor in the last two cases. Because at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says that if you shech chulin ba'azara, and what was number two? Of course, I should know this. Huh? And a treifa. Thank you. Oh, thank you. So chulin ba'azara and treifa. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to be pater. Why? Because it's a shechita, shein aruya. So, but what is that telling us? It's telling us that the rest of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. So in other words, so he's objecting only to the last two cases, but to the rest of the Mishnah, he's accepting. Now, so you don't have to say that. You could say that what Rabbi Shimon, the only thing that he's acquiescing to is the case of tavachumachar lerefua uleklavim, that what you did is you shechted for refua or for dogs. Meaning, on that, Rabbi Shimon is going to acquiesce. On that case, Rabbi Shimon will tell you that's a shechita ru'uya. Yeah, even though you're shechting it for wacky purposes, you're shechting it for medicinal purposes, I don't know, somehow it's going to be used as therapy, not for eating. Or you're going to feed it to your dog. Okay, so humans are not eating it. You could have said that, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's a shechita she'en ru'uya. No, that's a shechita ru'uya. Because a person could eat it. But as opposed to a treifa, as opposed to chulin ba'azara, where a person cannot eat it. That's all Rabbi Shimon was saying. Okay. Good. And this is where we're going to pause. We're going to pause over here. Tomorrow, significantly shorter daf, we're going to be able to navigate tomorrow. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Really, honestly, it's only one topic today, but the amount of moving parts in today's Gemara, it's really amazing. Okay. I strongly encourage. Right. Obviously, I spent some time preparing today's daf just to make sure I have clarity on it. And today's daf is a daf that really requires review. Every daf requires review. Today in particular. So what we saw today is our Mishnah says that using the principle of Kilmei B'Darabim, and if you shecht on Shabbos, you're going to be Pater on Dal V'Hei. However, if you shecht on Yom Kippur, so Yom Kippur does not come with it a capital punishment, therefore you're going to be Chayv Dal V'Hei. That is our Mishnah. And what the Gemara spent the entire day discussing was, well, there's so many other things that you need to consider. Number one, on Yom Kippur, so there's no Misa, but there's Malkus. So what about Lokin Umishalim? Isn't it the case that you don't get both? So the Gemara says our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, where Rabbi Meir says that you do in fact get both lokin umishalin. That shita's Rabbi Meir. Ah, so, but what about Misa and Mamon? So on that, the Gemara says Rabbi Meir holds that there we're going to say Kimle. You only get the harsher of the two. Then the Gemara quoted a Braisa. The Braisa says that according to Rabbi Meir, if you shecht on Shabbos, you are in fact going to be chayv dal vehei. And what that launched us into is a lengthy discussion that occupied most of the daf today. That's an isolated Braisa talking about a unique circumstance. What's the unique circumstance? You didn't shecht it. You appointed somebody else to shecht it. And even though we say ein shlech l'dvar avera, this is a notable exception. The Gemara in Kedushin, second parak, talks about exceptions to the rule of ein shlech l'dvar avera, this being one of the exceptions. How do we know it's an exception? The Gemara gave us three different drushas in terms of how we know that this is an exception to the rule. And then what we had to do is that we had to navigate through the rest of that braisa as well. Because not only did the braisa give the case of shechting on Shabbos, but it also gave the case of shechting la avodah zarah and also shechting ashur niska. How do those cases work? The Gemara went through those cases as well. Adkan.